I turned it on and then turned it off. So I love baptism service. I tell you, there's just something about it. And thanks to Jeff and Melinda for having us over and for everyone who chose to be a part of it. Well, good morning to you. You guys seem to be doing okay. Doing okay. I see some familiar faces. Welcome home. Welcome home. And it's been a good week. And the pinnacle of my week is being here with you. Now, if being here with me is not the pinnacle of your week, don't tell me. Just let me live in my make-believe world. But I'm really glad that you're here. And we're really glad for those that are with us by the way of the internet today. And we just, in the middle of the summer, and we're starting to talk about school. Amen. We have a few teachers. I think they're saying, oh me, I'm not sure. But some of the parents are saying amen. It's funny, I'm looking around at the teachers, and they just kind of... like they're in denial, like me, you know, about not being the pinnacle of your week. But anyway, but we're really glad that you're here this morning. And let's look at a few things in the way of information for you. Maybe we're not tracking just yet. So, well, I was going to blame you anyway. So, all right, there we go. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So we have our connection class 2 weeks from today. And if you'd like to participate in that, you can see Josh, myself, or Jeff. It's going to be a great time. Always love connection class. And we've got, I think, 4 families registered so far, so we've got room. And you'll want to be a part of that. Also, as you're out and about traveling, as the summer slips away from us, be sure to stay connected through our digital doorways. Excuse me. Now, this could be a really short sermon. I'm not promising you that, but I'm just saying it could be. But as you're out, also all of your notes are available in the YouVersion Bible app as usual. And when you see that small purple icon, that means I've given you a link where you could dig deeper. And at this point, let me do this. If you're here with us, go ahead and open up your Facebook and check in here to Little ALF. Show your friends and family some love. And while you're doing that, I want to say a formal thank you to our digital church members. Thank you for being with us. Wherever in the world you're connecting with us today, I want to say thank you for taking the time and making the effort. And as always, we pray that the distance between you and us feels very, very small. If you have a prayer request or something you'd like to share with me, you can drop it in a message there through the platform, or you could drop it in an instant message and it'll make it to me there very quickly. This Wednesday, now let me just say, if you weren't here for bingo night, you missed out on the chance to win some money. That was good. Someone said, were there enough prizes for bingo? Well, man, we had prizes beyond prizes. Listen, I'm telling you, it was spectacular. We had a great crowd, and Josh and Sarah hosted students over at their place, and they had a great crowd, and just a good time. It's just a good time. So this week, our summer family activities continue, and this is the one I hear so much about, bowling night. This is where it's typically fellows have these dreams of yesterday when, you know, they were on the professional bowling tour or missed it by that one pin. But this is for everybody. It's going to be a great time. We'll have lanes for the littlest, and we'll have lanes for those that, you know, a little more serious. And you can come and just hang out. You don't have to bowl, you know, but it's going to be a great time over here at Shenanigans. That's always my point of reference when someone goes, what church you go to? Well, I go to Authentic Life. Oh, well, where is that? We're the one that looks like a tent next door to the bowling alley, and they go, oh, yeah, yeah. So, but it's going to be a good time. I hope you'll join us for that. This week, we like to always connect your giving to ministry, and this week, we're highlighting Brother Steve, our missionary to the east. He'll be heading overseas. Here, I thought Colin was bringing me something to drink, but he's not. I don't know, brother. I know your house has been a house of sickness. You guys just know. I just fight it. But he'll be heading overseas here in the next few days. Please remember him as he's off serving. And the QR code's there for you if you'd like to give. I know the AC's running. This is just me. I'm just getting all hot. I am running hot. I am. So, and remember our missionaries. It won't be long now. It won't be long now. So we'll be good. And all right. And let's remember our church family today as we pray. And today I've added someone new. Miss Stephanie's father is sick and in ICU in Dallas. And we just want to pray for Stephanie and for her family and for the Lord's provision and protection for them. So let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for this day. And Father, we thank you that we've come together for a purpose. Lord, not because we don't have anything else to do, because Lord, that's simply not true. But Lord, we come together first as an indication of your worthiness. Lord, you're worthy of all of our time and all of our treasures. Secondly, we come together as a celebration of like-mindedness. Lord, we believe in you. Father, we come together as a declaration of our need of you. Lord, you know from where we've come. Lord, you know what's going on in our minds and our hearts and our lives. Lord, you know exactly where our fears, our hopes, our uncertainties, our barriers are today. And Father, I pray that in this time, you would set each and every one of us free from that momentarily. Lord, that we could see you, that we could hear you, that we could understand you, and that we could receive you. Father, may these next few moments be moments of great inspiration and rest. Father, let your people hear your word, not a man's word. And Father, I ask that you would, as always, remember your messenger. Lord, give me only what I need of you and only what they need of you. Nothing more and nothing less. Because, Lord, I don't want to give anything that is not of you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, we are continuing our summer series entitled How to Be Happy According to Jesus. And our focus passage is Matthew, the 5th chapter, the first 12 verses. And let's read that together just so we can kind of reset our framework, okay? Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, and he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who are meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure at heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So, excuse me, it's going to be good. Anybody ready? Jared, are you ready if I tap out? You ready? Okay, I got notes. Oh, thank you. I'll put that one in queue. You can read, but the challenge with reading is you have to understand the thoughts behind the reading. That's the mystery. So we've looked at a few topics so far. We looked at the value and the importance of humble pie. Humble pie doesn't always taste good, but it's good to have on a regular basis because we need to remain humble. A couple weeks ago, it got a little tough. We talked about happy are the hurting, and no one likes to hurt. No one likes to hurt, but happy are the hurting. In our hurting, there is a value, there is a purpose, there is a redemptive process. Last week, we talked about happy are the harnessed, to live our lives under a control, to be harnessed in, because anything that's left or just run amok typically is destructive. And then this week, we're looking at the passage, verse 4, and it says this: "You are blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God, his food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat." So this week, I've entitled, "Happy Are the Hungry." Is anyone here hungry? Yeah? Didn't eat breakfast this morning. Missed out. I finally gave in this week. You know, I've been wrestling with this mess. Finally gave in, and I was discovered to have acute sinusitis. And they gave me all sorts of this, that, and the other. And I'm telling you, sometimes I think the cure is worse than the ailment, you know. But I forgot to eat this morning, so when you take meds on an empty stomach, it's not so bueno. But, you know, that's all right. I'm a man. I'll gut it out. but happy are the hungry. Now, if we can be honest, in our context, our hunger on the occasions in which we may have actually experienced it really is just a minor inconvenience. Very few times in my life have I been at a place where I had hunger and the inability to address that hunger. Now, in Africa, we had a few times where the hunger and the need were, anyway, and that's a different story. I don't want to start crying now. But hunger has a clear indication and a clear purpose. Now, we can have misplaced hungers, we're going to talk about that. We can have non-beneficial hungers, we're going to talk about that. But today, we're talking about a biblical, godly hunger that each of us must, A, acquire, B, grow, and maintain. So let's look, shall we? Now, does anyone not know what this is? Okay. Now, Ronnie, I thought of you. I put that for you. Now, is there anyone here who does not know what this is? Just because if you don't know what this is, I hope you enjoy your next church. Now, wouldn't that be a story? So why'd you leave ALF? Well, the pastor said I didn't know what ponchos was. Wouldn't that be? Well, that makes someone's book. Growing up as a child in a family of eight, we didn't get to eat out very often, as you can understand why. But on the occasion we had to go to the airport over at Love Field, there's a Poncho's nearby, and we would get to go to Poncho's. Mesquite's the only one left, isn't it? Is there? Is it still there? Okay. Okay.
We should all go today.
That's right. Road trip! But we would go to Poncho's, and for those of you who may not know, and you don't have the courage to admit it because you don't want to go to a new church, at Poncho's, it's a buffet, and the way you told the waiter, more please, is you'd raise this flag. Now, in the interest of confession and transparency, I have wrestled with the idea of stealing one of these for decades. I have not yet acquiesced, but I'm going to tell you, every time I go to Poncho's, that little demon shows up on my, just put it, just get, they won't know. Ah, that's right. Most favored sister status right there. But you had to be hungry before you went. And you had to be hungry, and we would do a great deal of damage to that. We were a profit loss. But it's really not about the buffet. It's about the causes for a lack of hunger. When we think about things... When we think about things, that's right, no other pastor in town has the courage to recognize and celebrate his breaking voice. There are certain things at times that will cause us, and will cause us an effect on our hunger. And I'm thinking of just four of them. One, if I'm deceased, I'm not really hungry. That's kind of a natural byproduct, right? Unless, nobody? It's a zombie. That looks like me. I try too hard for y'all. That's it. No more. No. It's too late. My feelings are hurt. I'm going to a different church next Sunday. Or we can be distracted. Have you ever missed a meal? You get to the end of the day and you go, "What'd you have for lunch?" And you go, "I was just too busy. I was too distracted." Or a dinner or something like that. How about this one? You're just too tired. Now, this is a rare occasion for me, but there has been a time when I was just too, the thought of eating was just too much energy, and that doesn't happen very often, but it's true. And then the greatest one is sick, right? That's always the toughest one, is knowing when you can begin to go back into normal eating if you've been sick, right? So all of these and other things can be a cause for a lack of hunger in a physical sense, but I also would like to suggest to you that these also can apply in a spiritual sense. The scripture tells us that before we meet Christ on his terms, we are spiritually dead in our sins. And a person like myself up until that January morning who was dead in his sins did not have a hunger after spiritual things. Now, You might be attracted to them. You might like them. You might enjoy the benefits of them. But you don't have a hunger for spiritual things. Why? Because the spiritual person is not alive. You may be distracted. In our spiritual lives, we can get distracted by a lot of things. And our spiritual hunger can be distracted, and we're going to look at that. Sometimes weariness can affect our spiritual hunger. How many times have you woken up on a Sunday morning, and please, this is not a judgment, this is just a, because it happens to me too. How many times on a Sunday morning have you woken up and you thought, I'm just too tired to drag it out of this bed? Can I just suggest to you, the most tired morning of your week is Sunday morning. You know how I know that? It's mine too. I don't know why. I love being here. I look forward to being right here beginning at 11:30 today. But Sunday mornings are one of the hardest days for me to drag it out of the bed. I don't know why. But I, you know, just, oh, I'm just so tired. And, you know, there's, and let me just say this, tiredness, fatigue, weariness, that's a real thing. And then sometimes, in a spiritual sense, if you don't have a hunger for spiritual things, you might be spiritually sick. That can happen. Your mind, your heart, your emotions may be in a state of sickness that needs to be addressed by Dr. Jesus. So let's look. For us to really get an understanding of this, I need to take us all the way back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created. Amen? So we have this brand new telescope up in space, the Webb telescope. And it is showing us photographs of the furthest we've ever been able to look out into God's creation. And it's incredible. It's humbling, and it's a little freaky, and it's glorious that God created, you know. And it, again, there's a new discussion about the Big Bang theory, and I'm not getting in a fight over that. It's called a theory. Why? Because it's not a proven fact, okay? But, you know, they're looking further and seeing more, and they're going, well, gosh, now we know more than we used to know, and now we realize we know less than we used to know. 80% of matter is yet unfound. Where is it? Well, I don't know. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all that was. And he created Adam and Eve. And he created for them the perfect house, the dream house, the once-in-a-lifetime house, the home and garden house, the garden. He created them. Scripture tells us this. God said, let us make human beings in our image. To be like us, they will reign over the fish in the fish in the sea, the bird in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. And so in the beginning, God created the perfect house. He created the perfect couple. And inside of them, he created the perfect hunger, a hunger for righteousness. Why? Well, first of all, that's all they had known. This might be short, Ronnie. This might be short. We're holding on. Got both hands on the stick. And in that time, God promised them everything and withheld from them only one thing. You remember what that is? That tree. You can have it all. You can have the 5 bedrooms upstairs and the 7 bedrooms downstairs. You can have the 6 baths. You can have the guest house. You can have the pool and the hot tub. You can have the tennis court and the basketball court. You can have the indoor basketball. You can have it all, but that one thing. Now, you see, part of the challenge we face is this. Is we are to master our hungers. God said, you can have it all, but that. And now the challenge comes. Because one day, a question was raised by the adversary. Now, let me make this statement, if I may. The adversary is real. He is powerful. And he is not something. Hold on. That was going to be a real one. Now turn. There we go. I need a cough button up here. We need to have one of those incorporated in this. But let me also say this, that your adversary, the devil, is not, hear me, is not equal to your God. Amen. My friends, he is a created being. Is he powerful? Yes, he is. Is he a worthy adversary? Yes, he is. Is he equal to God? No, he is not. Do not allow yourself, by accident or by intent, to buy into the concept that God is scared or uncertain of the outcome. My friends, Satan's outcome has already been determined. It was determined at his fall. But the adversary visited the garden and he brought with him a hunger that they had not yet tasted. And if you recall, he simply says, does God really mean? And in that moment, temptation overtook both of them. And let me also give an aside, if I may. Brothers, don't ever allow yourself to fall into the lie that the fall was due to Eve alone. Adam had a responsibility that he failed. We are equal, if not more culpable. Anyway, so now, for the first time in creation, there were two hungers. There was the hunger that God created, and there was the hunger that sin created. And those two hungers still reside today. And in time, unfortunately, for many, the hunger for the world is much larger than the hunger for righteousness. Amen? You don't have to go far today. You just put something out there and you'll see. But the world, which is now touched with original sin and then the sins of us as individuals, the hunger for the world outweighs, is larger than the hunger for righteousness. And may I say, we inside the church need to be very careful that this doesn't reflect us. Because this can happen in the church just like it can outside the church. Amen? Yeah. Okay. I thought maybe everyone had left and I didn't know. Now, I think there's four basic pillars of worldly hunger. I think if we think about the hungers that this world can put before us, they could fall into one of these four categories. The first is power. Power. I posted something this week that says, if the person loves the power more than the people, don't follow them. Amen? Power is a very seductive thing. We think that we can have power, and if we have power, then the things that we hunger for will be ours. Well, be careful about power. Because one, it could pervert you. Two, it could destroy you. Three, if you have it, someone else wants it. Now, I hate to admit this, but I will. I love watching gangsters and shows about gangster life. It doesn't make sense to me. These guys and gals that go into this lifestyle, and they know that at the end, it's peril. They know that if they get the power, they'll only have it for a brief while. Why? Because the sharks are in the pool. But in their minds, their hunger for the power is worth it. And it boggles my mind, but it's a true story. Secondly, the hunger for position. If I just have the right position, we have to be very careful about what we think the right position is. Sometimes a position comes with a great price, doesn't it? It does. It comes, you know, I think of politicians. I never say never because God has stuffed that crow down my throat more than once. I can't imagine ever signing on to be a politician. Do you know why? Because that means 50% of the people don't like you. That's the way it works. Politicians, you can't make everyone happy. Listen, when you're going to lunch today and you go, hey, what are we having for lunch? Try to figure that out. Finally, Jeff goes, we're going for tacos and that's it. You know how it is. You get four people in one car, you get five opinions. But if we're not careful, our worldly hunger will say, if I could just have that position. And you know, one of those positions can be this position. Scripture warns about men who hunger too much for a position. Thirdly, possessions. How much is enough? Well, Howard Hughes used to say $1 more. We live in an economy that says you can't be happy with what you've got. Why? Because we need you to buy more. That's what keeps the economy energy and running. We live in a nation and in a time where almost 99% of your advertisements that you see, whether you see them, hear them, or read them, are telling you how dissatisfied you should be. When was the last time you saw a commercial that goes, isn't your life great? Aren't you? I mean, they just don't do it. I run those back two or three times. I put them on my DVR so I can watch them over and over. And then the last one is people. A worldly hunger for people. Now, that can be an unproductive relationship. That can be an unproductive approval. That can be an unproductive sacrifice for their approval. You know, if we're not careful, we'll think more about what people think than what God thinks. That's a dangerous place for us to be. Have you ever done something that you knew God wouldn't approve of, but you also knew someone would? Danger, Will Robinson, danger. But there's a worldly hunger. And what we found is after the garden, there were two hungers that presided in the world. God created one, and the adversary created the other. And those two were at continual odds with each other. But then there's Jesus. But then there's Jesus. Jesus came into the world to be the propitiation. It's a big word. You can use that tomorrow at work. The propitiation for your sins. He came to die for your sins and for my sins. He came to make it so that God would no longer be over there, but he could be in here. He came that through the power of the Holy Spirit and the transformation of us spiritually, we can begin to increase our hunger for righteousness and decrease our hunger for the world. My friends, the scripture says that as a dog returns to his vomit, so too do we. I can remember in my days of lostness, I would wake up after being really lost and practicing my sin, and I would think to myself, I will never do this again. But then I'd go do it again. Why? Well, because I didn't have a hunger for righteousness. I had a hunger for the world. And when you get hungry enough, guess what? You're going to feed it. That's the way it works. That's the way hunger works. So Christ comes into the world, and Romans 1 tells us this. The good news, the gospel, tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. For by grace through faith are you saved, not of works. That's the reason being moralist will not get you into heaven. As the scripture says, it is through faith that righteous person has life. Through faith. John tells us this. Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children. If you have a right life, you're going to have a right hunger. Amen? Woo! I don't think everyone's down with that. If you have a right life, you'll have a right hunger. Amen. All right, thank you. Now you're getting on board, right? So the challenge that you and I face is that at the time of our salvation, we receive Christ's forgiveness. We are indwelled by his Holy Spirit, and his Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And now there's this confluence of worldly hunger and righteous hunger. And in there's Christ. And he begins to change our appetites. Amen? I'm telling you, God began to change my appetite immediately. I got saved at about 11. No. Dewey didn't ever get done before 12. I got saved at approximately 12:20 in the afternoon. And I went home and started cleaning house physically immediately. Trash bag, Ronnie. Trash bag. Why? Because when Jesus takes up residence, things begin to change. And my hunger for the world was already becoming overwhelmed by my hunger for righteousness. You see, I was starving to death being full of the world. And our hope and our prayer and our goal should be this. The longer we walk with the Lord, the greater our hunger for Him becomes, and the smaller our hunger for the things of the world become. This doesn't happen to everyone, ladies and gentlemen. You say, "Oh, Jimmy." No, don't "all Jimmy" me. Only you know. Has your hunger for the things of this world diminished as your hunger for the things of the Lord has increased? Only you know. I don't get to live with you 24/7. I get a peekaboo on your soch. But I don't get to see you 24/7. So here's a question. How can I stay righteously hungry? I got five for you. Say five. Five. I got five. First, remind yourself how much God loves you. Ephesians 3 tells us this. And may you have the power to understand. Can I say this? I do not have the power to understand. Been walking with the Lord 35 years and I still don't have the power to understand. Because this is what I know. Is that God is omnipresent. Amen? And God has been pursuing me since the first breath of my life. Amen? Amen. And I drug my Savior into some terrible places. Amen? Yes. Places that I regretted going, much less dragging my Savior. That you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep is His love. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. My friends, don't you think you've ever mastered Jesus? Amen. Because you haven't. My friend, if you ever think, "Well, I got all this," you're just deceived. You're just, it's like my prof says, "Well, you're just wrong." Oh, I remember. Had a prof, theology prof, Dr. Pretlove. He was so great. He was British. That was cool. Listen, you're smart if you have a British accent. I don't care. And I can remember being in a theology class and this young whippersnapper of a theologian, and he starts railing off on what he believed. "Well, I believe blah, 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 blah." And Dr. Pretlove is so great. He crossed his arms and he just let him take that line, just taking that line. And then, you know, the guy ran out of air, and then Dr. Pretlove set that hook and he says, "Well, sir, I have but two problems. First, your opinion doesn't matter. And two, you're just wrong." I realized that in Dr. Pretlove's class, because Jimmy had a way of running out line, I'll tell you the other story. You have to ask me for it, but it was equally great. Let me back up. I'm not ready to leave the other one yet. Only you can remind you of how much God loves you. And you say, "Well, how can I know? I mean, my friend, just look back to from whence you came. One of the greatest tragedies in the life of a believer is this, is you forget what it was like to be lost. When you forget what it was like to be loved perfectly. Not that we can comprehend it totally, but my friends, we as believers must consistently and persistently value the fact that God loves us. And here's the thing, is He died for you, and He gave you the right to go to hell in your sins if you chose to do it. That's how much He loves me. He says, "Jimmy, my son died for you, but I give you the right to go your own way and squander what Jesus has done for you. I give you the right. I love you enough to give you that right." Thank God I didn't. Thank God you didn't. Amen? Listen, my friend, when you get down and distraught and all these things, just stop and start, count your blessings, name them one by one, and remember that God loves you. How long has he loved you? All of your life. How long will he love you? All of your life. Not just this life, but the life to come. Hey, listen, let me tell you this. God loves the people who miss heaven. Let me just stop and let you sit on that a second. Well, God, how could a loving God ever... Listen, God loves the people who miss heaven too. Why? Christ died for them. Wow, man, I didn't think it'd get that heavy again this week. Number two, how to stay hungry. Stop filling up on junk food. I love junk food, as you can tell. Proverbs 15:4 says this, gentle words are a tree of life, and deceitful tongues crushes the spirit. Now, the thing about junk food is this. There's a lot out there that's available. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves being filled up by junk food and not on good food. Now, there's obviously a physiological truth to this as well. But if we're not careful and we fill up on junk food, we're going to find out in the end we were just full of ourselves. Pridefulness, negativity, leaving no room for desire for good stuff. There's a lot out there today. And let me just say this. Not everything that's out there is good. There's some good stuff. Don't get me wrong. It's a great day to be a believer. Listen, what you have availability to is unparalleled in human history. But not everything that's available is beneficial. In preparing for this, I was reading about famine and starvation. And I was reading an account where there was a famine in this particular land. And what's interesting is when you get hungry enough, you become very creative. You're willing to eat whatever you can find. And in this particular place, the famine had been so long and so deep and so severe that they were taking vegetation, whatever they could find, and mixing it with dirt and consuming that dirt. Now, physiologically, they were full. The void down here had something in it. But they were finding people who were physiologically full who had starved to death. Why is that? Because what they were full of had no sustaining nutrition. They were physically full, but there was not anything to sustain life. Brothers and sisters, we have to be careful about that. Because only God's word is the food of life, the bread of life. We have to be very careful that we don't fill our spiritual bellies on other things and leave off the thing. We must be very careful. There's a lot of good stuff, but there's only one best stuff. Amen? So I put this in and... because I thought about it, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you real quick. So I'll try to bring the room up a little bit. I don't want us to, you know, get all bummed out about, you know, that. So Thanksgiving's coming. Oh, sweet Lord, let it be tomorrow. Thanksgiving and all that entails. I don't like to wish my life away, but So I, for many years now, have been given the privilege of preparing the turkey for consumption. Now, we are not Hallmark. We do not sit around a large table where we carve a piece off and lay it on Colin's plate. Colin, I don't know if you know this, but Colin is my nephew-in-law. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, I was the deal closer. I was that last chip in when I, yeah. I get to be related to Brother Jimmy? I'm in. No, at our home, in our family event, we separate all the meat from the carcass. I can say that word, right? And Tanya, I apologize in advance for this story. But But I get the privilege of being that guy. And I love being that guy. There's something primal about just... Now, the problem with it is this. I like snacks. You know, and you're doing your business, and you know, and you got this one piece, and you're like, oh, man, that is just... And guess what? I'm not going to wait. I call it quality control. Right? Right, brother? Right? I wouldn't want my family to eat anything I wasn't willing to eat myself. Now, the only problem about Thanksgiving pre-gaming is this. Is by the time everything else is served, guess who's full? Year after year, my mom goes, Jim, aren't you going to eat? Well, I'm kind of full. Why? Because, you know, first it's just a piece of turkey, and then it's, well, I wonder if this piece of turkey would taste good inside this roll, you know. And yes, it all does. And then I go from basically pre-gaming to dessert. So we had to be careful. Anyway, all right, that brought me back up a little bit. That's good. Staying righteously hungry, make knowing God your number one goal in life. What is your number one goal in life? Well, our number one goal should be knowing him and make him known. That's just the basic truth. Let's see what the scripture says. Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. We live in a parched and weary land, amen? Figuratively and literally and spiritually. Matthew tells us this, seek the kingdom of God above all else and all righteousness. He will give you everything you need. What is your number one goal? Is it to know God? Is that your number one goal? Is that it? And here's the thing. Look at what you hunger for, and it'll tell you. You can measure your hunger based on that one question, but I gave you five because I'm a giver. How about this? Dine on soul food. That's God's word every day. Soul food, that's funny right there. Come on. Hey, soul food. 1 Peter tells us this. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. If you have a newborn child and that mother is choosing to try and nurse that child, or, you know, if you're going to bottle feed, if that child refuses to eat, what does that immediately tell you? We have concerns, don't we? Yeah, we have concerns. Why? Because you got to eat. And if they're not eating, why? Because that's the natural thing. And if they're not eating, we get concerned. There's a problem. Why? Because if they don't eat, bad things happen. Well, my friends, as believers in Jesus Christ, if we don't eat, bad things happen. He goes on, he says this, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Lastly, appetite is influenced by association. I'm not going to ask you to testify. I'm not going to ask you to confess because I'm not your priest. But I think we all can agree that we've done something, at least one thing, that we regret because of the company we were with. Right?
Sure.
Okay, thank you, Ronnie. It's just you and me.
Yeah.
It's just you and me. But we've all done it, haven't we? Sure. Listen, you know, you don't go to a buffet if you're trying to watch what you're trying to eat. I mean, you know, who we associate with and what we associate with will have a direct influence on our appetite. So follow the steps of the good and stay in the paths of the righteousness. My friends, if we want to have a righteous hunger, then we need to guard against those things and those places. And yes, sometimes, even maybe those people. Now, don't hear me say all the time, you can't win the lost if you don't have, you know, but you know what I'm saying. Our hunger can be affected by the company that we keep. We have to be very careful. We become what we consume. Isn't that true? We become what we consume. We must choose a profitable diet if we're to protect our eyes, our minds, our hearts, and our testimonies. Happy are the hungry, not just the hungry, because everyone's hungry. Happy are those who hunger after what? Righteousness. Righteousness. And it's a constant struggle. The only way that struggle ends is when you open your eyes to Jesus. Amen? I mean, then you're done. Now, to the glory of the Lord, that struggle should get a little easier. You know, there are things in my life that are easier than they were 30 years ago. And there should be things in your life as you grow spiritually. But understand this, that struggle will always be there. And you have to recognize, is this a godly appetite or an ungodly appetite? And then you get to choose. Now, let me say this. If you choose righteousness, there's a reward for that. If you choose unrighteousness, guess what? There's a reward for that too. There's a reward for that too. So the challenge you and I face is if we want to be happy in Jesus, we need to strive after righteousness in every day and in every way. We need to strive for it. We need to model it. And we need to invite other people to join us in that striving. We need to invite other people to join us in that striving. You know, one of the things, when I was younger, I had a pastor once say that the way that you can help decide whether it's someplace you should go or not go, whatever, is imagine if Jesus were sitting next to you. And, you know, and you think about that, you know, there's some places you just, you know, you don't, because the Lord goes with us. And like I said, when I look back on my life and the places that I drug who would be my Savior, Jesus, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that he didn't say, okay, that's enough. That's enough. And walk away from me. He was always there. That's the beautiful thing, is you don't have to go looking for Jesus. In that moment when you want him and you need him and you desire to pursue him, he's right there once you turn to him. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we pray for our spiritual hunger. Lord, there's just a lot on the buffet today. Lord, we are an information people. So much is available to us all day, every day. But Lord, not everything that's available to us is profitable for us. And Lord, not everything that's profitable for us is the best thing for us. Father, we need your wisdom in that. Father, we ask that you would help us to be spiritually discerning, to know. And Lord, to fuel a hunger for righteousness, Lord, and to tamp down a hunger for the world. Father, we ask that you would help us to want you more than anything in this world. Lord, I know it's hard, especially when we are discouraged. Lord, when things maybe aren't going the way that we think they could or should go. And Lord, I know it's hard when the world seems to be a very scary place at times. But Father, you say that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Even in our uncertainties, Lord, help us to be certain in you. And in that, feed the soul. In only the way that you can. Father, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, beginning with myself, that you would help me to be carefully and spiritually discerning. Lord, guard my appetites. Lord, always, always, always remind us that every decision has a reward or a consequence. And Father, I pray that we will always take that into mind, because sin will take us further It'll keep us longer, and it'll cost us more than we ever intended to pay. So, Lord, let us have the wisdom to choose righteousness. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the blessing of prayer. We thank you for the blessing of your presence. And, Father, we thank you for the blessing of your promise that, Lord, with you, we can always overcome. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Invite the worship team to come so we prepare to giddy up. Invite you to stand, stretch those legs out. Well, Ronnie, you were right. The voice didn't falter, so we'll see. Yeah, So Wednesday night bowling. If you have your own bowling ball, you're welcome to bring it. If you have your own shoes, you're welcome to bring it. If you have a really cool one with a big old rose in the middle of it, I want to throw that bad boy. Or if you have one with a skull in it, I saw one of those before. That was kind of creepy. But anyway, it's going to be a good time. Josh, any instructions on that? Is it just show up?
No, there'll probably be some more instructions coming out this week.
Okay.
So just pay attention.
We'll make sure we'll get it out to you for our last minute instructions. All right, let's stand. We're going to sing as we go.